Going to pray for us, and we're going to get right into it this morning. God, I'm just honored and privileged to be trusted to give your word to our family this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, that you would use me for your glory, and God, that we would be open and ready to receive what you have for us this morning. In your son Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right. The title of my sermon is, What is Purpose? Like Jeopardy. Trebek. Saturday Night Live? No? Okay. what did y'all want to be when you grew up? Nothing. Got it. Sweet. you said a pastor? Okay. All right. A father? Good. Well, it might be harder for some of you. It's been maybe a little more time, but that's fine. But for me, the first thing, and this was the first thing that I wanted to be, was a naval aviator. That little bundle of awesome with a bottle of apple juice is yours truly. And the first thing I wanted to do was fly F-14s off aircraft carriers. I couldn't get it for you, but there's a video. I used to be very obsessed with Top Gun, the original, and the officers who catapult, all right, off the aircraft carrier. Apparently, I would go with the movie as they did that, and just boom, 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 along with them to catapult F-14s off aircraft carriers. That's what I first wanted to do. But it wasn't the last thing. I wanted to do many things. You know, I was going to assist Tom Cruise on Cat 3 if he needed backup first. Then I was going to replace Emmett Smith once he retired from football, running back for the Dallas Cowboys. And then I was going to win a lot of Grammys. I was going to be a really good music producer and have all the Grammys. And I was going to teach the world and raise the young minds to be lovely people. And now I'm here in front of you preaching. And throughout my life, I've been seeking my purpose. And early on, my purpose, or what I thought should be my life's purpose, is not what my purpose should be. I've matured, I've become wiser, and I have grown to seek God's purpose for my life. Travis has mentioned a few times here recently in his sermons, as well as Neil last week. They've touched on purpose. And so I want to try to dive in this week, get a little deeper into God's purpose for us and how we can navigate that within this severely broken world. Excuse me. And so we're going to start in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, which is what Neil pointed out last week, and it reads, Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, to the end of age, to the end of the age. Now, this was not the first meeting of Jesus after his resurrection, but it's a very important meeting Jesus had with his disciples, where he calls them to their commission. Now, a commission is an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or group of people, a group of people officially charged with a particular function. We can also read the Apostle Paul as he talks about his purpose in Colossians 1, 24 through 29. He says, Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations now but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So here we see Paul's mission is making God's word known, fully known. I feel that as a normal human, American specifically, that when you first say purpose, this might not be the thought that pops in your mind. And I came across a Pew Research from last year, and I'll give you a few tidbits from that. Just over 51% of Americans surveyed stated that they were extremely or very satisfied with their job. All right, so half of you think it's okay or hating life. The survey also found that those with higher salaries were more likely to be satisfied than those whose salaries were smaller. Duh. Why was that even a question? Hey, do you make $1 million? How do you feel about your job? Oh, it's good. Yeah, well, silly question. 4 in 10 workers, though, said their job was extremely or very important to their identity. Now, I thought that was a little low, but, you know, what do I know? I bet there's some liars, though. Society tells us our purpose is to, make money, do what feels good, that'll bring you success, status, that's your purpose. But that's not the commission that God gave his disciples there. Too often, we are manipulated and oversaturated with the idea that purpose is related to our job or being a functioning adult. We need to recalibrate back to what we see in the Great Commission. And so when we look back at it, the first thing we see is that God has the authority. Verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Who likes control? Those not raising their hands, liars. All right? We all like control. You don't want your freedom taken away, right? You don't want, someone tells you that's not your seat. All right, I was there first. Go do this, right? No, you don't like that. We like control. I love control, And we are blinded sometimes about how much, what is taking place in our lives, how much of that is us, and what is God. We're quick to think that because God has done something for us, that maybe we're in control. We kind of morph it, God, that I did that. And this happened to the Israelites when God was trying to get them to the promised land. They were right at the precipice, ready to go. All right, they sent in people, say, "Hey, go, check it out." All right, most of them came back, giants, it's scary. Two of them no, it's pretty good. Moses didn't listen. All right, God said, sweet. All right, have fun for 40 years in the desert. He's in control. He's got it. That's what we see in his commission. The second thing we see is that we are to make disciples of all nations. Verse 19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And it's important God says this because previously he'd really been talking to the Jews, and now he's telling them we need to go out to the Gentiles, to everyone. We need to let them know the good news. We're not told, only raise up your children. Tell them about God. All right, Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, once you told your neighbor, why don't you come to church? You're good to go." That's the extent. All right, he told the disciples to go out to the ends of the earth. How do you make disciples? Are you making disciples? And he tells us there in the commission, what should we do? He says we should baptize them. Acts 2:38, says, "And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." John 3:5 says, "Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Travis has talked previously, referenced Philip and the eunuch. All right, he spoke to him, and the eunuch was ready to go. He said, "Let's find some water. Where is it? I'm getting in it." He's getting baptized. When you hear that word, when you understand that truth, when you accept that truth, the decision is made. Baptism is the next thing. There's no time like the present. He says, disciple all nations. He says, baptize them. He says, our third thing. He says, teach them. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Psalms 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In Psalms 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, it's probably a small, very small sample size of those of you who are born experts. I know we like to think that we're experts. I know that I like to think that I'm an expert in a few things, but the true number is probably zero. We all, at some point, have to learn to do the things in our life. Now, that's not to say that God hasn't gifted you, right, with a gift in a certain thing, but much like the professional athlete, all right, who has maybe an extra dose of strength, talent to catch a ball or whatever, you still have to train that thing. You have to learn how to hone that gift that God has given you. We can disciple the lost and encourage them to be saved and baptized, but we must nourish that young salvation like Proverbs tells us. And, you know, when I think about this, I think about my kids, I guess myself, really. You can't tell kids nothing. All right? You will learn. That's what my dad used to tell me all the time. You will learn. And so now I tell my children, you will learn. You can't tell these kids nothing. Hear from them when they're telling me stuff. My daughter, she's learning piano. She's practicing. I'll come in. I'll try to very nicely. Just say, like, maybe, you know, keep it. You suck. Came in, you suck. No, I just want to, I'm trying to assist you. I feel like I have some musical ability. Just trying to guide her. No, I tell her it's, oh, I know, I understand. I know. That's what I did. But then she'll sit there in the lesson with Vicky. Some of you have been around Vicky. She used to be here with us and play the keys. Vicky's in there, and I watch her just correcting. And she's, listen, if I say it, is, oh, you're the worst. You can't tell kids nothing. All right? But it's still important to teach, right? We have to teach up those. We give them the word. We give them Jesus. They're baptized. We need to teach them. It's important. And we can try to teach. They might take it. They might not take it, right? Some people, they take, maybe you're not the person they're taking else. And that's perfectly fine. All right, again, the utes. All right, maybe they got to hear it from someone more ute-like. All right? But teaching is important. Salvation is a process. All right, it takes all this. The final thing God says here in this commission is that he is with you always. Verse 20 says, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What a comfort, right? No matter what, our Father is with us always. And you know, when I think to myself, well, God is with me always, And he's there in the not so flattering times. And then it becomes kind of terrifying. You're sitting there doing not what you're supposed to do, right? It's okay, no one else is around. Oh, God's like, hey, how's it going? What are you looking at right there? Is that what you're... He's with you always, right? It doesn't say I'm with you always when you're being good, when you're out there worshiping, singing your worship song, when you're doing your work. He's with there. He's right there with you in the bad times. He's there with you always. So, yes, it's a comfort, but it's also soothing. He's there when you're doing bad. He's right there. You think it's a secret. It ain't a secret. He's there. He sees it. He's next to you. That's what you want to do? That's what we're doing? He's there. He's there at every moment. I disobey, I'm sinful, he's there. But there's strength to know that. And in seeking my purpose, God is there as well, no matter what. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Jeremiah 31:33, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." John 14:16-17 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells within you, with you, and will be in you." The Holy Spirit. All right? He's given us the Holy Spirit. And we're his people. He is there with you always. So what does this all say? This says to us, our purpose on this earth is to make disciples, period. That's for the young people, right? Period, that's what they say now, Jared? That means no? Okay, I'm sorry. Pretend I didn't say that. I think it means like it's official. Yes, no? You're fairly young, I'm looking at you. No. Okay, I guess I'm old. I don't know. Careful. While it would be nice to have a job that fulfills, our purpose does not lie in the job that we have, or the tax bracket we live in, or the great life that we should be living. I told you I've struggled with my purpose all my life. I have a busy mind, and it's quite frustrating. I'm not quite sure I can truly relate to you what's going on in my brain at any moment. There's no off switch, and it's ridiculous. It makes it very hard. You know, I've never liked to read. I kind of like reading now, but I feel like I didn't like to read because my brain just doesn't stop. I'm reading these words. And then I'm like thinking over here, what's that? Or I read a word, and then okay, now that sends me over here. What about, you know, am I really getting it? It's frustrating. I'm thinking about all these things. And so with my purpose, I'm like, I'm all over the place. Like I said, I started out wanting to be a fighter pilot, then I was going to be a football star, great music producer, I was going to be a performer. And you can see me on a cruise ship. I was going to be a choral directing powerhouse, you know, conducting just the choirs of the ages. And even today, you know, sometimes I wonder, is this where God wants me to be? And though I have had millions of ideas about my job purpose, I know now that my true purpose is discipleship. God needs us to disciple. Everything else, fluff. It's fluff. God uses us and he puts us in positions that we may never understand with the end goal of discipleship. Maybe you hate your job. You think it's the worst. Maybe you love your job, and it just provides true happiness. Whatever the case may be, your job is not the purpose. Making disciples is the purpose. Your job is the vessel or area where you influence the lost to be found. So how do we put this purpose in action? Let's see. In my personal Bible time, I'm currently in Joshua. And Joshua was called to lead Israel into the promised land. Because like I said, Moses, he had a little slip up. And God said, sorry, you're not going to be able to go. He didn't say it like that. That's my 2024 interpretation of what took place. And so for the youth, so yeah, there you go. And Josh was put in control. He was one of only two spies that said, hey, no, it's okay, 40 years before. Hey, we should go. And so he was given control. And Josh, he led Israel into the promised land through a dry Jordan to defeat the big bad Jericho. That was their first encounter into Israel. Boom, defeated them, consulted with God. And then the very next step, Josh is like, okay, that was pretty good. Beat them, you know, came to the next city. It's like, probably gonna do it. It's like, I'm gonna send 3,000. Should be good. Wasn't good. Got defeated. Lost 36, I think. He didn't consult with God. And in the commentary, there was a blueprint there that talked about how we can put the purpose into action. And so the first line item, putting our purpose into action, is faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. We must believe in the words Jesus said himself, that the authority lies with him. No matter where God places me, I know that he is in control. And I love this verse because it was, I'm pretty sure my mom suggested it, because kind of a worrier, and I don't like not knowing. And this verse came to me, and I was like, okay, yeah, faith. I'm being assured of what I hope for. I'm certain. I'm convicted. What I can't see, I like this. And it was the first verse that I can remember outside of going to church, in kid zone, learning. You know, they teach a verse. There's the first one. I was like, no, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to commit this to my brain to assist me in my faith as I had my doubts and my worries. And if you are having doubts and worries, again, Hebrews 11:1, I encourage you. It's a great one. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. We have to have faith. So that's the first thing we need to do when we're taking action in our purpose. We're having faith. The second thing we need to do is we need obedience, to be obedient. Romans 6:16 says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. We must follow God's law for our lives and live in his truth. And we must be active in making disciples and teaching and baptizing those who are far from God. And when I think about this obedience, it's funny because my wife, yesterday we went up to Leesburg, to some zoo, Leesburg Zoo. So kind of a drive for us. We're down in Spotsy. So we were listening to some podcasts, and one of the guys was talking, and he mentioned something, and it just made me smirk because it's something that I've struggled with. And he was talking about, have you ever prayed to God to use you, radically, for his purpose? to do so. And then, God, you know, I'm committing. I'm going to commit to do that. And it just made me smirk because oftentimes in my prayer, you know, I want to be used by God. But again, I want control. So, you know, it's like, oh, God, I want you to use me in this right here area. Maybe not in those uncomfortable spots, but right in this box is where you get to use me. And so when this gentleman on this podcast was like, have you ever asked God to use you, you know, and commit to doing that? And it's like, I wanted to, but I kind of don't want to, because then he's probably going to answer me. And what if I'm not prepared? What if that's not inside the box that I wanted? And then I'm like, oh, you know how I said I was going to do that? Not gonna, yeah, I just don't, yeah, I don't want to do that. So I don't know about y'all. I don't know if any of you have been so bold as to do so. If you have, give me some of your, come and fork some over to me. But obedience, we are called to be obedient. And it's difficult. It's not easy. It's hard. I digress, sorry. Courage is our next purpose in action. Faith, obedience, courage. All right, I just told you. Obedience kind of scares me sometimes. We need courage. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Though we cannot know the future, we must put on the armor of God and boldly march to the path he creates for us. New life paths can be scary. Most of us, we like the usual. Or maybe not. I guess there's some people who are just, you know, they just go with the flow. I mean, I also slightly envy you all, because that just, you know, I couldn't do it. Can't do it. Living a life of just whatever happens. I'm, you know, no. Most of us, I would assume, most of us like, you know, we like things the way they are. And it's why, you know, we can get so crazy, even here at SC3, all right, when any tiny thing changes, you know, oh, why are we doing that? That's not how we usually do stuff, right? Oh, I don't know about that. With knowledge that God is over it all, we can be courageous no matter where we are called. Neil had a graph last week, if you weren't here. I guess it was a graph of, what would you call it? The church collaborate that you're with, whatever that's called, that we're over, under.
Waypoint.
There you go, waypoint. The church is what everybody had a graph showing movement, right? And there was that peak, right? And he talked about, you know, are we a church, you know, on the up? Are we growing? Are we moving? All right, and we have to be a church. We have to take courage. We have to be faithful, be obedient, have courage to continue our family right here in an upward trajectory. Movement growing, all right? Because oftentimes, you know, we have churches, large, small, doesn't matter, prosperity teachers, right? Osteen, all right? Oh, yeah. Fairy dust, Rose, it's good. Just come here, all right? Or, you know, it's just, I look at it kind of like a country club church versus family church, right? All right, is it a country club where you come to be served? What are you doing for me, God? You know, these are the rules of the club, and this is how it stays. Oh, there's other members. I think he's a member. I don't know. I have to check. Or are we a family? You know, someone's in need. I'm gonna go fill that need. All right, you're struggling. How can I assist? So glad you're here. You want to come have some lunch? All right, I got a life group this day. Why don't you come do it? You know, I have a coworker. Let's go out to the neighborhood. Again, are we a church going up? Are we just living, coming here to check the box? I came to church. I'm being served. I sang the songs. Travis talked to me. He said something about Ohio State. Oh. I had to. We want to be a church on the move. We don't want to peak. We don't want to go down. We want to keep going, whether we're 20, whether we're 1,000. And we plan to grow. We want to grow. We want to grow the family, right? We don't want anyone lost. But we have to have courage to do that. And with that courage, we need endurance. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." When life gets hard, we dig in. Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this, Mama said. No? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, there are going to be days. Might be weeks, months, years. As I've preached before, we're not promised cupcakes, roses. We're promised the opposite. We need strength to strengthen our resolve when the times are hard. When people don't receive our message, when the job doesn't fulfill, when my kids don't listen, say they hate me. All right, we keep faith, we stay obedient, we find hold with God by our side. You know, when I think of endurance, I think about, again, what God has called us to do in our lives, how we should live our life. All right, it's not common that we endure because it's hard. God, it's hard. It's hard to do the right thing. It's hard to be good. It's easy to be bad. We have to endure. God has set up these guides for us, not as punishment, but because He knows. He knows what sin does. He knows how easy it is. So He says, hey, you probably shouldn't do stuff before you get married. It's not going to lead to good stuff after the fact. And you might not understand that before, all right? But you have to endure. And if you don't endure, then guess what? You're going to have to deal with the consequences after the fact. Intended, unintended. I had to deal with that. All right? I tried to endure. I couldn't endure. We have to endure. It's a process. It's work. Faith. Obedience. Courage. Endurance. And finally, we have to trust. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Too often we rely on our own understanding. I know I do. God provides us with all we need, and we must trust that He is ordering each step that we make. And it's not because of us, but despite us, that God will accomplish all that He intends. He is always with us.
Forgotten that there was a concert or had
that I had a shift at my valley job, and I wasn't going to be able to make it to this concert, or maybe it was to do stuff with the youth group. I don't know, when I'm getting old, it all just runs together. And so I just texted my boss, and I was like, I quit. I'm not good. Yeah, I know. Cry once, and apparently just there'll be tears every time. I remember I was struggling, my mom told me, she was like, God has a purpose for you. I don't know why, but I was like, oh, God has a purpose for me. I was like, oh, she's my mom, right? And it's like her saying, oh, you saved the best at the thing, you were the best one, right? And that's, you know, that's how I felt, but I don't know, for some reason in that moment, I was like, yeah, I feel like I had armor on now. She's like, oh, my mother just told me God has a purpose for me. By golly, she's right. God has a purpose for me. We gotta make disciples. We got churches to prisons, community centers, homeless shelters, and we would put on, perform, and we do this for 9 days. It's an awesome experience, and usually about 5-6 days we have a communion service where we take communion, and you know, a lot of times students would give their lives to Christ during that time, but we also have testimonies. search ourselves.